Some things a little bit differently this morning. I'm just going to get you to help me to with what we have to look at this morning. So I think the last time I shared was, and one of the things that's been on my mind for some time is What are the marks of a Christian? What defines you as a Christian in your everyday life? And I shared from 1 Timothy 2 or 1 and 2 last time, and the let me just.
So two Bibles, like Mark last week.
Mark had two Bibles, so that makes me feel better. So in 1 Timothy, it talks about Paul encouraging Timothy to stay at Ephesus and to refute some of the things that were going on. And he said, we need to promote the word of God, which is by faith. And the goal of this command is love. And love comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. And we saw that the work of God comes from by faith. So And that doesn't apply only to preachers, people on the mission field, people in full-time work, but any work of God comes from faith. So that means that if you want to be a godly husband, if you want to be a godly wife, if you want to be godly children, if you want to be a godly worker, employee and employer, It comes from a heart of faith. So one of the other marks that I've been thinking about quite a lot lately, and you'll know the passage well, and if you'd like to turn to it in Matthew 11, one of the other marks is coming to Christ. He says, come unto me all ye that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So this whole idea of coming to Christ, and I think it's accepted by commentators the setting here is the burden that the Pharisees put on the Jews to come to Christ, what it meant to come to God, and they laid on them, you know, just all these heavy burdens and weights and a whole set of rules and regulations that they needed to go through. But Jesus refuted that, and he just completely turned that idea upside down. And he said, if you're buried and you're weighed down by the weight of life and you know, you're heavy and you're weary, he said, come to me. And so I want to look at that a little bit, and I want you to help me. So I think it's probably good to look at who is offering us this invitation. Who is inviting us to come to Jesus? And sometimes we, because, you know, our familiarity with, you know, the Bible and with our Christian walk, sometimes we just forget, you know, who's offering us this invitation. So if someone would like to look up Philippians 2, verse 10, who would like to look up Philippians 2, 10? Just put up your hand. Thank you. I see that hand. Isaiah 45:23. Was I? Yeah? Margaret? The Margaret. Yeah? And Hebrews 4, 14 to 16. Okay, so Philippians 2. Christine, if you'd like to read out Philippians 2, verse 10. Yeah, and maybe 11.
And every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father.
Okay, so this is the one whom Jesus is referring to himself, and God is talking about Jesus, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and earth, and every tongue will acknowledge that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Isaiah 45. So it's a cross-reference verse. Margaret? Yeah, 23. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, so this is, Jesus is referring to himself, come to me, come to me. The name that every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. Okay, Hebrews 4. Who's got Hebrews 4, 14 to 16? Who had that one?
Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need.
Okay. Have you got a comment on that, Karen? This is the one who was inviting us, saying to us, come to me. Have you got a comment about that? Or anyone else? Yeah, and I think that's a key comment. That's a key. Verse 16 is really key because of what Jesus has done. We are able to come with confidence before God's throne, and if you want to receive mercy and grace, come before the throne of grace, the throne of God. If you want to know what grace and mercy looks like in your, come before God's throne with confidence because of what Jesus has done as our high priest. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that just a wonderful thought? And Matthew 11:27, the verse before 28, come unto me. Jesus says, all things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him. So he's talking about those who the Son, Jesus, has revealed the Father to. This is his audience. And he's saying, no one knows the Father except me, and no one knows me except the Father. So, and this is the one. This is Jesus who is inviting us He's saying, come to me, come to me. In the holidays, we had the kids staying with us and the grandkids, and one day, the three older Benny and Mally's kids, they wanted to go up to the park, and so they got on their scooters, and me not having a scooter, I wanted to go with them, so I jumped on my bike, and Mally was pushing little Annabelle in the pushchair, but she got left way behind, you see. So we're flying up the footpath, and I was on the road on my bike, and there was a little difference in level in the footpath, you see. So here's Micaiah, the oldest one. He's going tearing along the footpath, and you know how little the wheels are on a little scooter. It's caught that little nib, you see. And here's Micaiah just going straight over the handlebars, and I saw the whole thing happening. I was just alongside him. And, you know, just down on his hands and his knees. He was in his shorts, that far away from face planting. And he was, well, as you can imagine, he was a mess, you see. Just crying. And so I sat down on the grass verge with him and the others stopped. And I said, oh, Micaiah, that was really horrible, wasn't it? That really hurt. Yeah, it really hurt. I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to carry on and we'll go down to the park, or shall I take you home and Nanny can look after you? So, kids, what do you think? What do you think he did? What do you think he said? What did he want to do? Eh? No, he didn't say, I want to go to the park. No, he didn't say, I want an ice cream. No. 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 He said, I want mummy. He said, I want mummy. I said, aren't I good enough? No, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Isn't Nanny good enough? Well, we're good enough because he comes and stays on his own. So we're good enough. But he wanted mummy. So why did he want mummy? She was the one that he was able to trust, because he knew that his mum loved him, because mum was his mum. I mean, I love him too, and Christine loves him, but mummy has a special relationship. So he trusts mum and mum's love for him. Isn't that a beautiful picture of us coming to Jesus? When Jesus says, come to me, trust me, because I love you and I accept you. And when you fall off your scooter and you land on all fours on the footpath and you've grazed your hands and the weight of life and the burden of life becomes too much, come to me because I love you. And I can carry your burdens. There's a statistic. Well, there's some thoughts being bandied around at the moment about why we don't come to Jesus, and what causes us to look to other things and to other people when the weight of life gets too big. And they're saying that, and Rob touched on this actually, that loneliness and isolation are one of the two biggest reasons why people become addicted to things, to addictions, whatever addictions, whether they be alcohol, drug, sexual addictions, physical addictions, whatever, emotional addiction. Loneliness and isolation are the two biggest factors that cause people to seek comfort and help in the wrong things and in the wrong areas. And so let's not run to the wrong things. Let's not run to the wrong people. Let's not run in directions that, that are not going to help us in any way. Jesus says, come to me. When life's getting too hard, come to me. It's easy to give the appearance of coming to Jesus, and it's happened since the beginning of time, hasn't it? We give the appearance of coming to Jesus. And there's a wonderful passage in Matthew 3, I think it is, where John the Baptist is baptizing out there in the River Jordan, baptizing for the repentance of sins. And it talks about the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They saw John the Baptist out there baptizing. So they wanted to go out there and get baptized as well. Why did the Pharisees and the Sadducees want to go and get baptized by Jesus? It was an insurance policy for their forgiveness of sins. And John the Baptist saw their hearts and knew their hearts, and he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" And that's happened. It's happening now. You know, we rest on our heritage, and the Jews were resting on their heritage. We have Abraham as our father. We're saved. Our eternal destiny is secure because of Abraham. Yes. So, don't give the appearance of coming. Actually come. We actually have to come to Jesus rather than giving the appearance of coming to Jesus. In another lifetime, when I was flatting in Hamilton, I think I was flatting with Peter at this stage. And we every week we'd do a Bible study, you see, and we'd get together one evening and share a Bible study and pray for one another, you see. And one of the guys that was in our flat, his dad lived in Taranaki. And his dad would, not often, but two or three times, when he came up to see his son, Dave, he would stay with us. You see, and if he was staying with us when we were doing our Bible study, he would be part of our Bible study. He was a man who loved God, and so he would share in our Bible study, and then at the end of the evening we would all pray for each other. So we started to pray, and then I heard this commotion, you see, like this, and I wondered what it was. I peeked like this. And here's this elderly gentleman. He was quietly getting off his seat, and he knelt down on the floor to pray. Now, he wasn't doing that to impress these young bucks, you see. He was doing it because it was a habit of his. He would when he came before God in prayer, he would often, and I could see him in my mind's eye at his home, he would quietly get down on the floor and kneel before God in prayer and pour out his heart. Don't give the appearance of coming to Jesus. Actually come to Jesus. Well, that's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Just a couple of points of what hinders us. Denial hinders us, denying our wretchedness, our need for Jesus. Pride hinders us. Someone has said the root of all sin is pride. We don't know whether Jesus is enough. Remember the little story about Micaiah coming to his mum? All he wanted was his mum. He knew that his mum was enough. Actually, Mellie handled it beautifully. She said to Micaiah, when she eventually got there, she said, Micaiah, what would you like to do? Would you like to come on with us to the park with the others, or would you like to go home? Or would you like Papa to take you home? By the way, Rob, I'm Papa. Micaiah said, what do you reckon Micaiah said? Kids, what do you think Micaiah said? Do you want to come on to the park, or do you want Papa to come go take you home to Nanny? What do you think? Eh? Yeah, no, close. He said, I want you to take me home, Mum. Okay? And Mallie said, no, Micaiah, because she knew that it wasn't a matter of life and death. She says, you can either come to the park with me and the others, or you can let Papa take you home. He chose to come to the park with his grazed hands and knees and his hurt heart, broken heart, to come to the park rather than letting me take him home. So he came to the park and he sat there for a while, and then after a while he let me take him home. But he carried on his journey, you see. Even though he was hurt, he carried on his journey. Is Jesus enough? Yeah, Jesus is enough. Hurry. Hurry is a real hindrance to coming to Jesus. You know, hurry up, Lord. Hurry up. I'm way up front of you. Catch up, you know. Or the flip side of that is I'm sitting here, you know, just praying fervently for something, and I want God to answer my prayer, and I'm saying, hurry up, God, hurry up. Just, you know, answer my prayer. I'm waiting for you. But hurry is a real hindrance. You remember when Moses went up to Sinai too, and God gave him the Ten Commandments. He was up there 40 days. And he wasn't up there long. The Bible doesn't actually say how long he was up there for. But in Exodus 32, the people said, when they saw Moses was gone for a long time and he wasn't coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, let us make gods who will go before us. Being in a hurry, impatience, is a tremendous hindrance to coming to God. It caused the people of Israel to get into all sorts of sin because they just couldn't wait for Moses to come back, come down from the mountain. So learn of me. Learn of me. What are we to learn? In Matthew 11, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavenly laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. What are we to learn from Jesus? For I am gentle and humble in heart. The thought crossed my mind, and offer me some feedback here. Why do you think Jesus said, for I am gentle and humble in heart? Why don't you think, and this is the thought that struck me, why didn't Jesus say, I am powerful? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. I am able and I am capable and I have the authority to take upon me your burdens and your worries and your cares. But he doesn't say that. He said, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Why do you think he said that? And the commentators are strangely silent on this. They don't have much to say at all. Why do you think Jesus said, didn't say, I am strong, I am mighty, I am powerful? Why did he say, I am gentle and humble in heart? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Yeah, I think so. I think so. Remember the occasion when Jesus called Matthew and where did Jesus call Matthew? I think it was Matthew 9. Yeah. Jesus called Matthew. And he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. And he said to Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew got up and followed him. So while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. But the Pharisees saw this and asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Yeah, I think you're right, Karen. I think it's because Jesus didn't come as a mighty warrior riding a stallion, as a conqueror, as the Jews wanting and was expecting. He came as a baby in a manger, and he came to identify with us, and he came to be our Saviour and our friend. And he said, if you're sick, you need a doctor. If you're not sick, you don't need a doctor. Jesus is the great physician. How do you think it made the tax collectors and the sinners feel? And Matthew threw this party. They're all having a party, having a good time. Here's Jesus in the middle of their gathering. How do you think that made the group of tax collectors and sinners feel? How do you think it made them feel? Comfortable? Trust him? They probably felt pretty good, didn't they? Because here was Jesus in the midst of these sinners and tax collectors, the ones that the Pharisees despised, and Jesus was sitting in the middle of them. Here's Jesus sitting in the middle of our meeting, not turning his back on us. And he says, you're the ones that need a doctor. You're the ones that need a physician. You're the ones who need me. So if you turn that on its head and you put Jesus in the middle of the Pharisees and Sadducees, how do you think the Pharisees and the Sadducees would have felt? Very uncomfortable and very threatened, because here's someone who is challenging their authority and challenging their whole purpose and sense of being and worth. And that wouldn't have been good. So Jesus says, "Come to me, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light." John Ortberg, in his book Soul Keeping, said, he said that the soul, see, Jesus said, "I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Okay. John Ortberg says, "It is not that the soul was made for an easy life. The soul was made for an easy yoke." I wonder if you get that. The soul was not made for an easy life. And we're not made for an easy life. I think it's John 16:33 talks about Who knows what John 16:33 says? For I have told you these things, that in me you will have peace, in the world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. See, in the world you will have trouble. It's inevitable. It's inevitable that as we live our life in this world, we're going to have trouble. So the soul was not made for an easy life. We're going to have a troublesome life. But John Ortberg says the soul was made for an easy yoke. There's very few times in Scripture where the word easy is used, and this is probably one of the mostly recognized passages of Scripture. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus wants to walk with you, to partner with you, to yoke up with you, to help you carry your burden. Let me just close with this. In the same book he says, true soul or true heart satisfaction is not about acquiring the right things as we go about wanting to acquire the right things. The whole world goes about trying to acquire the right things to give me life satisfaction. Okay? It's not about acquiring the right things, but about acquiring the right soul. It's not something you can buy, but something you receive freely from God. You can't buy soul satisfaction, but you can receive it freely. But to receive it freely, you have to come to Jesus and experience that. Let's pray. Our Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the invitation that you've given us to come to you. And as we recognize our weariness and our burden and our struggles in this life, because as you have said, that we will have struggles. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And Lord, thank you that you invite us to come to you in order for you to carry our burdens. And Lord, we pray that you'd give us courage to do that as we think about the coming year, as we start this new year. We pray, Lord, that you would help us for that to become a habit in our lives, and not just a one-off thing or not just when we need it, but for it to become a habit of coming to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.